Amen, amen. Well, that is absolutely a powerful, powerful testimony, and we know we wanted to share with you again to encourage you to fill out your prayers and praises. And I want to share a win. I've been talking about and encouraging everybody to fill out those cards. And last week, 46 people filled out a prayer card. 46. I was just counting. I was like, man. So, man, thank you, and we love doing life together with you and praying with you and celebrating the things that God is doing. So real quick, we're diving into a new series today called A Summer of Psalms. I decided I didn't want to fight with you anymore. So we're gonna move into praising now. I'm excited about this series and diving into God's word and the Psalms and just rejoicing over, all the things that he does in our lives and the things that he calls us to. One other quick praise report. Talked about becoming moment makers, becoming plugged in, volunteering. We offered two trainings last week, and we had 19 people go through moment maker training last week and sign up to serve. So, and I'm already seeing some people already plugged in, and for those of you who went through, joined a team, thank you so much for doing that. We love and appreciate you and for you becoming a part of what we're doing week in and week out here at Kairos. All right, you ready to get into some Psalms? Dang it. Now we're going to have to fight again. No, I'm just kidding. So here's what we're going to do. Over the next few weeks, right now I'm thinking it's going to be about five. I'm going to do my very best to go through every single psalm. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. We're going to spend 3 years doing 150 psalms, and it's going to be great. The way that the psalms are broke up, let me just give you just a kind of a quick little background rundown of all of this. You can put the first slide up. The word psalms comes from the Hebrew word tehillim. And then the Greek word psalmos or psalmos, and it means songs of praise. And of course, we get our word psalms, which means songs of praise. Now, 150 psalms that we have, it's not actually a book. It's 150 psalms broken up into five books. And then it's broken down into these sections. Book one is chapters 1 through 41. Book 2 is 42 through 72. Book 3, 73 through 89. Book 4, 90 through 106. And then book 5, 107 through 150. And so what I've decided, because I wanted to try to touch base on as many as possible, be encouraged by many as possible, is we're going to look at each book and pick out some scriptures from each book. But really, if you've ever gone through Psalms, if you've read through it, if you see the overarching story, really what you're going to see is the story of God's people. And it's seen through, heard through, experienced through the lens of lament that we get through the Psalms, but also praise. It's this story of God desiring relationship with us and redeeming us and us turning our back on him and choosing him again. And as it shows, as the Psalms show Israel's history and redemption in relationship to God, it invites us into the story, to place ourselves within the story, to see where we're at within our journey, in our relationship with God. So today we're going to look at book one. And then I want to pull out from book one, it's going to be Psalm 1. We're going to start with one. This makes, makes sense. And then I'm going to jump over to Psalm 19. In Psalm 1, the title, if you look, it says two ways. And so we're going to break that down. And then in chapter 19, it talks about creation in Scripture and the perfection of both. And then lastly, Psalm 41, which is the closing out of that book, talks about the victory that we get to experience in our relationship with him. So let's dive right in. You ready to dive right in? Psalm 1? All right. It'll be on the screen. You can pull out your Bible. You can pull out your phone. You can follow along that way, however you want to look at the Bible. If you just want to close your eyes and listen, you can do that too. Okay, here we go. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners or join a group of scoffers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not survive judgment, and sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. And for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. So Psalm 1 comes in pretty strong, and it kind of lays out. There's the, right there at the end, you got it. There's the way of the righteous, in the way of wicked. And then it breaks down what's going to happen. And in the opening, what's it say? It says that we're blessed. Blessed are we who do what? Who, actually, not what we do, it's what we don't do. Who don't listen to the advice of or the foolish opinions of the wicked. Who don't practice selfish habits. And who don't keep bad company. So in order for us to be blessed, like what this is talking about, don't do a couple of things. You can go to the next slide. Don't listen to foolish opinions. And that goes back to following the advice of the wicked. Oftentimes, foolish opinions are driven by our feelings and not truth. They're driven by false teaching. Oftentimes, foolish opinions are driven by listening to our heart instead of listening to what God's word is saying or aligning our heart and our feelings up with God's word. Don't practice selfish habits, taking the path of sinners. What does this mean? We're only concerned about satisfying our own sinful desires. As we do that, all we care about is us. What am I going to get next? What am I going to achieve next? What am I going to do next? It's all about me. I don't care who. So don't practice those habits. And then the third thing it says is don't keep bad company. Don't join in with a group of scoffers or mockers or those who are going to make fun of others or tear people down or gossip or belittle, who don't have your best in mind, who don't have other people's best in mind, who often cause issues and stir up trouble. Don't keep bad company. Now, verse 1, it says, blessed are those who do not, right? It gives us what not to do. And so my rendition of the opposite will be this. Blessed is the man who follows the advice of the righteous, takes the path of the redeemed, and joins in a group of encouragers. So to be blessed, here's what you should do. That'll be on the next slide. Listen to truthful observation. Follow the advice of the righteous. Where do we find truth? It's right here. Where do we learn truth? How do we get truth? It's God's word revealed to us by God's Spirit. And then we take it to others and we hear about others and their truth. And so we listen to truthful observation, not foolish opinions. We practice selfless habits where we're putting the needs of others first, where we are redeemed from a life of being satisfied in our sin and looking to live a life of righteousness, practicing selflessness in all of our habits. And then finally, we keep a faithful community. Not joining in with those who will tear us down or belittle or stir up trouble or cause problems, but joining in with a community of people who will encourage us, who will equip us, who will stir us to love and good deeds. Instead of a life patterned after selfish habits, foolish opinions, or bad company, then it goes on into verse 2. In verse 2, it says, we delight. Who do we delight in? Not in ourselves, not in our deeds. We delight in the Lord, but not just that we delight in the Lord. Specifically, verse 2 says, we delight in the Lord's word and in the Lord's will. So in order for us to listen and offer truthful observation, to practice selfless habits and keep faithful community, we're told that we must delight in God's word and in the will that he has for our lives. And when we do that, when we delight in his word, when we're seeking to do his will, it goes on in verse 3, it says, we'll be planted, we'll be rooted, we'll be watered, we will bear fruit. In the things that we pursue, we will be prosperous in the ways of God. We'll live out his will, being useful to the community of believers, being an encourager, sharing truth with those who do not yet know it. And so in this sense, and I'm going to get into the other side of this, we become the wheat. The wheat is useful. The wheat is used to help others. But then it goes on and it talks about the chaff. And it talks about how the chaff is blown away. And if you know anything about the wheat and the chaff and the chaffing, the chaff is useless. It blows away with the wind. Wherever the wind of feeling is going, that's where it goes. Wherever the wind of selfishness is going, that's where the wind blows. And it goes this way and that way, and it follows every new age thinking and all these opinions. Instead of just being grounded in the truth, they're carried off. And oftentimes when they're carried off with other chaff and the bad company and the things that come along with that. And so they're not rooted, they're not planted in the word of God or in the will of God. And so what Psalm 1 lays out is this choice. And what I'm calling it is a choice of relationship. We can be in relationship There's two ways, two choices that we're given. One, join in relationship with God. That's the relationship we're called to. And joining in the relationship we're called with God, we're called to take delight in his word. If you're gonna be in a relationship with him, you'll take delight in his word, but not just be like, this is cool, I love it, and I'm gonna go live my own life. No, we say, I'm gonna delight in this, and then I'm gonna take it and I'm gonna live this out. What God calls me to, what God is saying to me, where he's calling me to go, how he's calling me to get uncomfortable, I'm gonna live in his will. So we join in relationship with God by taking delight in his word and living out his will, or we join in a relationship with sin, taking delight in ourself and really living out our feelings, our wants, our desires, our selfishness, our sin. It goes on and it says, the way of the wicked, choosing a relationship with sin, it leads to ruin and destruction. And those who live a wicked lifestyle, following the advice of the wicked and the path of the sinners and the joining in a group of scoffers, they will not survive judgment, nor will they enter into a community of believers. But the Lord watches over. He watches over and protects who? Those who choose the way of righteousness, those who join in relationship with him. And so here's what Psalm 1 does. It sets it up. It gives us a choice that all of us are given in our life. Are we going to choose to live for God, have a relationship with God, or are we gonna choose to live for self, continuing in that relationship with sin? And so it lays it out, and really the reason why it starts with this, it says here's the choice that we have in the remaining book of book one and really all throughout all five books of Psalms. What we get is what it looks like, and we see the results of what happens when we choose one or the other. Choose to live in sin, here's what's gonna take place. Choose a relationship with God, here's what's going to take place. And then it outlines and lays out really God's ultimate desire, which is having a relationship and a covenant relationship with us. Now let's fast forward, because there's a lot in there and a lot to go through, but we're gonna jump to Psalm 19. And really what I love about Psalm 19, you know, as we're going through our life in this choice, because it's not really like, it's an everyday choice to be in relationship with God. We have to work for our relationships. We have to work to communicate. We have to work to live in his will, right? Now we're given that through Jesus. We're given access to him and we're redeemed by him. But if we want to be in relationship with him, we got to continue to strive for him and to look for him and to be instructed by his word. And so sometimes what will happen is our sin comes in, our selfishness creeps back in. We go through something, we deal with a circumstance, and maybe we're pulled away from that relationship. We feel a separation from that relationship. And so what I look at Psalm 19 and I see that this is God drawing us back in. This is God reminding us of who he is, of his greatness, of his sovereignty, of his power, of his infallibility. Yes, all of that, but also the fact that he loves us and wants a relationship with us. Now I'm just gonna give you two verses from Psalm 19. Here's what it says in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands. Their message has gone out to all the earth, and the words to the ends of the world. I mean, you know this, if you've ever looked at the night sky, if you've gone out into the middle of nowhere where there's no light pollution, right? And just looked up at the vastness of what God's created. They speak of a God who is great. You know, all throughout his creation, we're reminded of his sovereignty. But within that, we're also reminded of his love. Because guess what? He created all of it for us to enjoy, to live in, to celebrate. He did it for us so that we may prosper, so that we may succeed in all that we have. And of course, so that we can continue to see and get glimpses of his glory here on earth. It's in the beauty of a sunrise or a sunset. It's in the joy that comes from hearing a baby's laugh. It's in the vastness of the stars of the sky or the breadth of the ocean. Anyone ever been on a cruise? A few people? Someone going on a cruise later, maybe? Okay. I've only been on one cruise. It's not my thing, but here's what I loved. Well, two things I love. Number one, I love sleeping in the bottom of the boat. It was really dark and it was like, wee, you know, okay. But the one thing I loved is going and standing and just looking out at the ocean. and just feeling this big, you know, and just being like, oh my gosh, God made all of this and he still loves me. And you get this overwhelming feeling of like, man, he must really think something of me, you know? You just take delight in, like, he created all of this. Oh, it's just so vast, it's so big, and I'm just a little speck in the middle of the ocean, and man, it's amazing. It's even in the delight of our pets, of our animals that we get to care for. We get to see God's love for us. And we it all points to God, number one, as creator, the great creator, that he created all of us, all of it for us. But it also points to a God that loves us and desires a relationship with us. And so in those moments, maybe where we're pulling away, drawn away, when we fall into the traps of the advice of the wicked or the path of the sinners, or we join in with the scoffers, man, we're called to look back to his creation. Remember how much he loves us, that he did it all for us, that he created it all for us, that we could be in relationship with him. And no matter how far we think we've gone or that there's no way to get back, he will welcome us with loving arms. So his creation reminds us of all that he's done. And after being reassured of his sovereignty through creation, we are then reminded of the flawlessness of Scripture. So you jump down in Psalm 19. So it talks about creation, verses 1 through 7, and then it gets into back into his word, and it pulls you back in. His creation pulls you back in, and then he says, hey, remember my word, remember my promises, remember my love. I want to read to you Psalm 19, 7 through 11. It says, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey, which comes from the honeycomb. In addition to all these wonderful things about his word, your servant is warned by them, and there is great reward in keeping them. And so the Lord can renew our life through his word. Through his word, the inexperienced become wise. We get to learn and experience, and the Spirit reveals new things to us that we never knew before. Through the word, our hearts are made glad and our eyes light up. And I was thinking about this. Does God's word make your eyes light up? Now, most of you know I have a newborn. He's almost 4 months now. His name's Cohen. And I'll tell you, one of my favorite things, I'll leave and go to work and I'll be gone all day. But my favorite thing is coming back. And when Cohen hears my voice and sees me, my goodness, this kid's face lights up. You know, it's not just smiling with his mouth, but you can, like, his eyes light up when he sees his father. And so I wonder, does God's word make your eyes light up like this? Look at that. I get to go home and see that every day. And I go, man, we're called right here. And it tells us that the command of the Lord is radiant, making our eyes light up. Like, when you go to the word, when you hear the word, when you're encouraged by the word, does your heart become glad? Do your eyes light up? Or is it more like this? You know what I'm saying? He's just super cute, and I wanted you guys to see how cute he was. But there's a difference. You know, and just as, like, I think for most people, when we go out into creation, we see God's works, the mountains, the ocean, the trees, life, animals, all of it, like, God's creation makes our heart glad and makes our eyes light up, and so should his word. And this is what Psalm 19 is saying, is like, he gave us all of this. He gave us his creation for us to enjoy and love and be reminded of his glory, but he gave us this as well. And it should be seen as, viewed as the same. We should love and experience and take delight in it just the same. Verse 10, it says it is more desirable. His word is more desirable than money or material things. It's sweeter than our forever family frap that we have at Echo. Anyone ever had that thing? Good Lord, it's just sugar in a cup. And people are like, I like it. It's good coffee. No, there's zero coffee. It's all sugar. But that's why we sell so much of it. So anyway, we're adding more sugar to everything. But his word is reliable. And so it's reliable. It's infallible. It's righteous. It's compared to pure gold without imperfection. It's compared to raw honey. It's untainted and directly from the source. And maybe you're like, I don't really connect with the gold and the honey thing. Okay, what are some things that we connect with? I was thinking about this. What are some things that we greatly value today? Let's talk about air condition, right? God's word is more valuable than air condition. And the Florida people are like, maybe. But think about it. God's word never needs servicing. It'll blast out ice cold air all summer long, right? You'll never have to drain the pan that's overflowing, right? And it's always the exact right temperature that you need. His word is more valuable than AC. Or the other thing that I think most of us can't go without is Wi-Fi or cell service, right? And so like, we always, with God's word, we always have the strongest signal. We're never disconnected. We have access whenever, wherever. His bandwidth is inexhaustible, and we've all been given the password. You ready? It's Jesus. And so like, man, we look at this and we say like, okay, I do value both of those things. I value AC, I value Wi-Fi. Like, I love to be connected. And like, that's what Psalm says about his word. More desirable than any of those things. And then it goes on. We have, you know, this entire list of all the things that God does for us. And then it says also, when you're in this, when you're delighting in this, when it's making your heart glad, it's gonna warn you as well about the advice of the wicked, about the path of sinners and the group of scoffers that are trying to pull you away. But not only will it warn you, it will also give you direction and guidance on the path of righteousness. And not just warn you, but it'll give you a reward when you're willing to follow it, love it, and live it out all the days of your life. You see, through his creation, through his word, and through Jesus, we've been given all we need to trust, believe, and choose to live for him for all the days of our life. So that's Psalm 19. So we get Psalm 1, we got two choices. Live the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked. Get to Psalm 19, we're reminded of his creation, reminded of the perfection and flawlessness of his word. And then we fast forward. We're gonna go all the way now to chapter 41 of book 1. And all throughout, like, you know, chapter 1 through 41, you're gonna see a lot of this. You're gonna see a lot of God's reminders of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness, of God's protection, of God's sovereignty. You're also gonna see lament, and you're gonna see consequences, and you're gonna see people feeling the weight of sin and the burden of sin on their life. But you'll be continued to be encouraged to follow his word and live it out. Moments of making the right choice. You'll see moments of repentance and consequence of making the wrong choice. And again, like, you look at all these things and you're looking at and examining the life of the Israelites and what they're going through, and then you go, okay, well, where am I at in my life right now? What is God doing in my life right now? Now, we put out a post about what's your favorite psalm, and many people said Psalm 23. It's a very popular, and so this is what King David so eloquently reminds us. In Psalm 23 and also 27, he tells us to dwell in God's house, to dwell in the presence of God. I want to give those to you. Psalm 23:6 says, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. And then in Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. It says, dwell in his presence, dwell in his word, dwell in his creation. Seek him with your heart, with your mind, with your life. No matter what you go through, no matter what you're dealing, no matter the hardships, no matter the trial, the tribulation, dwell in his presence. Be reminded of the beauty of his creation and that it was for you. Take delight in his word and continue to have it encourage you and warn you about things and traps and pitfalls of this world. Here's the reality. When we focus on his word and we dwell in his presence, you want to know what we're given? We're promised victory. Victory. And this is where we get into Psalm 41. It reminds us that we will experience victory in him again and again and again. And because of that, we get to praise him again and again and again. Psalm 41, verse 11 through 13 says, "By this I know that you delight in me." There's that word again. Delighting in him, dwelling in him. My enemy, actually, I'm so sorry. As we delight in him, he delights in us. It's an amazing thing. And how do we know that? How do we know that the Lord delights in me? It says, "My enemy does not shout in triumph over me. You supported me because of my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever." And then it ends the whole thing, book one, with, "May Yahweh, the God of Israel, be praised from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Have you ever thought about that? That the Lord delights in you? I mean, how encouraging is that? Or even considered the fact that creation was for you. It was all for you so that God could have relationship with you. What an amazing thing to just think about and bask in the fact. Again, the God that created all of it. He delights in you. But not only that. If you go back to Psalm 1, not only does he delight in us, but he also watches over us. He protects us. And then through Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, we have victory. And in Psalm 41, 11, through the victory that we have in Jesus, our enemy cannot triumph over us. This is the promise of God's word. And through Jesus, ready? Where it says we want to dwell in his house, we want to delight in his word, we want to delight in his creation. Through Jesus, we are given the Holy Spirit, which means that we get to be in the presence of God whenever and wherever. It's a powerful promise. Right? We're able to dwell. Like David says, we're able to dwell in the presence of God through the Holy Spirit right here and right now. And don't take that for granted. You've been given access to God 24/7. And so we have that, and that's been given to us here and now on this earth through Jesus. But the promise just isn't here for here and now, because what we're also promised to be with God in his presence for all of eternity. And as you read through that and you realize that, man, you get to verse 13 where, because of the promise of his presence, we say Yahweh, our God, is to be praised from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And so it's this choice. Two ways Psalm 1 gives us. The way of righteous, choosing to be in relationship with God every day. Or the way of the wicked, choosing to seek selfish, sinful nature, to be in that relationship with sin. And so we have this choice to make every day, to seek him, to know him, to delight in his word and in his creation, and follow his will. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. God, today may we just choose you. We know you love us and you desire a relationship with us. You send Jesus to redeem us. And there's a choice to choose you. A moment where we come to the realization that it's only through Jesus that we can be redeemed. If you've not done that in your life, if you haven't realized that in your life, there's only one way, one truth, one life. It's in Jesus. If you want to dwell in the presence of God through the Holy Spirit here and now and also for all of eternity, it means choosing Jesus. And if you're going to choose Jesus, then you have got to turn away from and repent of that sinful lifestyle. Never done it? Do it now. Choose him now. Live in his way. Be reminded of his creation. Delight in his word. God, may we choose you today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day and all the days of our life. May your word and your creation continue to remind us, first and foremost, of your sovereignty, of your power, that you are almighty. But may it also remind us that you love us. Beyond all measure, you love us, you care for us, and you desire a relationship with us. God, may we remember the grace of your Son, shown to us on the cross, where he took our place, where he made a choice to die for us, to claim victory over sin and death so that we may never have to be triumphed over in our enemy's presence. God, you give us that. God, we thank you for the reminder of your word, for the beauty of your creation, for the love and the sacrifice of your Son. God, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with, may we always look to you, be reminded of you, and man, just draw us into you, into your word, into your presence, into your creation, into your people, so that we may be built up, so that we may be encouraged, so that we may be a part of the faithful community, so that we may follow the advice of the righteous, following the path of the redeemed. We want to live for you. We want to love you. We want to take delight in you. And may you, through your word and through your creation and through your Son, continue to have us do that all the days of our life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.